Recording has started. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Nori. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Translation and Transliteration of Contact Information TDP Working Group on the 13th of March, 2014. On the call today, we have Tignan Koramorn Patana, Wanawit Akuptra, Chris Dillon, Rudy Vansnick, Peter Crean, Peter Reinsforth, Eprin Percy Kenyatto, Jennifer Chung, Jim Galvin, May Swishapam Surawa. We have apologies from Justin Chu. From staff, we have Glenn E. St. Jerry, Amy Bivens, Lars Hoffman, Julie Hunlin, and myself, Terry Agnew. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you very much. This is Chris Dillon speaking. So if we move into the agenda item three, we need to ask whether anybody's statements of interest have changed since the last call. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Okay. In that case, let us move into agenda item four, which is the responses from the SOs and the ACs. And we have had two responses, one from the People's Republic of China and a continued response from At Large. So they are continuing to write interesting things in their wiki. However, the at-large response is very long. So what I'm intending to do is to have a look at the People's Republic of China response and then do the at-large response at the end, if we've got time. I think that's possibly the best thing to do there. So that means that we need to display that People's Republic of China response. Now, there's something coming up on the screen now.
Thank you. I'm working on that.
That would be...
Take a few minutes. I need to navigate to that page.
Yes.
Chris, if I may in between, Rudy speaking.
Yes.
Maybe we should try this call to have a look into the methodology of the process we will go through after we got all the answers from the SOs and ACs, so that we can start planning the work afterwards.
I think we can certainly return to methodology under any other business. Thank you.
This is Julie Hedlin. Chris, can you remind me where the responses are?
Just a moment. I'll just post the link. That will be quick. It's under section 4, and then under 4 again, and then it's the list of correspondence received, which I'm just posting that now. Okay, it's the address. And right at the bottom of that page. It's quite a short response, in fact.
Thank you very much, Chris. Can you all see that?
Yeah, that's the right page, but we just need to be right at the bottom. So, basically, this is just really quite brief and talking about the fact that the contact information is collected by registrars and I think could ensure the accuracy of the registration information. Then we've got the fact that the registration information in the Chinese script is really the basic requirement. I think that is hinting that transliteration or translation would be, effectively an additional thing on top of that. And then there's a mention that Chinese registries should check and verify Chinese registration information. So that's a sort of simple pyramid-like structure whereby, each layer in the pyramid checks the layer below. Then in the last paragraph, there is something about the intent of the whois. Now, this is related to something that we'll be coming back to later, which is the whole aspect of desirability. This is, they're saying that the intent of it is accurately to record and check the registration information and that Chinese information can better serve the Chinese community. So that's really a summary of what that particular input is saying. Any questions about that? It's looking actually as if there may be technical problems. So if you can't see that page, then just use the link that I posted into the chat room. Just bring it up in the browser, and that should get around the problem. That's it. Okay, so any comments about that, or should we perhaps move into the next agenda point? As I was saying, I'm intending to come back to the ALAC stuff later if we have time, but it's quite long. Okay.
Hey, Chris.
Yes.
What were we speaking? May I?
Yes, by all means.
Well, just a question to the answer of the Chinese colleague, from GAC colleague. I wonder whether referring to the reference made to the Chinese script is done to the different scripts in Chinese, the historical one and the modern one. Is there made any difference? Because I remember that this, or are they both in parallel? So as we had, within the discussion of the IDNs.
That is actually rather an interesting point. Because this response is coming from the PRC, I think it's largely talking about simplified characters. However, it is conceivable that traditional characters could also be included because Hong Kong actually uses traditional characters. But actually, within this particular response, I don't think they're referring to that distinction. It is an additional level of complexity when the same language can be written in two rather different scripts.
Yes, my question is just, do you see any request coming from different Chinese sites regarding this issue?
I think effectively, this is quite a general issue that if you have a language which can be written in more than one way, you're always going to have different communities saying, well, we require this form of it or we require that form of it. What is interesting in the Chinese case is that, certainly people who use traditional characters may struggle to read simplified characters and vice versa. So we can't just presume that that there is no difficulty, that they're two quite close representations, especially I think especially young people in the PRC find it quite difficult to read traditional characters.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Okay. All right. Well, let us, unless there are any other questions about that input, shall we perhaps move into effectively into the next point, which is agenda point 5, and we're then looking at refinements to questions. And I think if we go into maybe it's I think it's probably quicker if I just get that particular page up. Is actually under, it's under number 4, and then why are we doing this? Correct one, yes. Okay, so we'll, I'll just post that into the chat room in case we continue to have problems with display. Okay, it's this page here that I've just posted. please get it up in your own browsers in case we can't display it. I think that's probably easiest. Okay, and again, we're right down at the bottom of the page. Actually, before we get into this document, I'll just respond quickly to a question Amar asked in the chat room. And Amar was asking about the NCSG response, and I'm not sure whether I have put that in the wiki, I will try and find out what's happened to that response. Okay. And we still have technical problems with displaying that screen, so just use it in a separate browser tab, and that should be okay. And the bit we're looking at is actually at the bottom of the screen, which is the post that Amar sent in recently about basically about desirability. So there was a correspondence on the mailing list, and so Amar is saying, is there consensus that transliteration is desirable? If so, I am in the minority opposing this consensus. So far, I have yet to see one convincing reason to make me think that it is desirable. Could someone please point one or more out to me? So yeah, that's displaying nicely. So in response to that, we can we could actually have a look at there are various reasons which are mentioned on the page that we were just looking at. So the People's Republic of China mentioned some benefits, and there are other benefits in that page, but we've spoken about those during earlier calls, so I won't repeat that. I know that Lars is working on some document to do with this area. I don't know whether Lars, you would like to talk about that now.
Thanks, Rui. This is Lars. I think that if you're happy, I can share with the group, but since it's a work in process, as it were, I don't think I should give a too detailed summary. Basically, what I thought might be helpful for the group is to gather some information about the various views and the comments been made by the wider ICANN community, different stakeholders and different policy initiatives inside and outside the GNSO and other stakeholder groups and support organizations about why contact information should be translated or transliterated or why shouldn't it be, as well as just seeing that other different viewpoints as a starting point for discussion. And then also I started to dig a little bit into the overall purpose of contact information because only I suspect it might be useful if we, if the group agrees what the purpose for contact information is, why it should be gathered, then it'd be easier to determine why it should be translated or why it shouldn't be translated, and what aspects of it should be translated as well. So I think that might be some good starting information to then start the debate on the threshold question of the need to translate or not to translate, or transliterate it and not transliterate. But as I said, I'm happy to share the document if the chairs agree, and it's a work in process, and I hope to finish it before before Singapore.
Yes, I think there, you know, that there are some very interesting, very important ideas in there. So I think, although it is still a draft, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
No problem. I'll share with the list right now.
Okay, thank you.
So this is Lars again. Just to double check, did you want me to send it out, or do you want me to put it onto the screen right now?
Oh, actually, if you can put it on the screen, that would be better, because come to think of it, you know, checking email is difficult during a call. I'm just hoping that that we'll be able to display it. Amr has got his hand up. Amr, would you like to say something?
Thanks, Chris. This is Amr. I just wanted to go back to your point about the correspondence from the People's Republic of China.
Yes.
And from what I could tell, they were stressing the point that when Chinese registrants submit their contact information, for the sake of accuracy, it's best that they submit that in Chinese as opposed to other languages.
Yeah.
But I don't see how that's still... poses any sort of advantage in translating or transliterating this contact information. Okay, we've established that it's good for them to submit it in their local language, but where is the advantage in translating or transliterating this? I still fail to see the correlation between the two points. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Let's just I'll just revisit that quickly before we dive into Lars's document. Actually, I think you're absolutely right. Basically, they're saying accurately record and check the registrar information, but that's all in Chinese. You're right. In fact, the Chinese, that particular Chinese piece, is not highlighting an advantage. So no, that's correct. I think some of the other pieces, particularly the Thai piece that we went through quite slowly a few weeks ago, did highlight benefits. I mean, you know, we could revisit that, but you know, we did speak about them at length during that call. So, and we have, you know, really quite a lot to look at during this call. So, I think probably if we have a look at the you know, document that Lars is drafting now, but by all means, pick up pieces. They're all on that page to do with the correspondence we've received. I mean, it may even be helpful if I go through and put benefits in bold or something like that. But anyway. Okay, now, so looking at the document that Lars has just displayed, I would like to just pick up a few things. Now, in fact, one of them is, do you see there's this list of 11 purposes? So this is domain name control and all the way down to malicious internet activities. Now, there is a lot of information about this in the initial report from the expert working group on GTLD directory services, and so in fact that comes out of that report. But really, to get the full benefit of it, you need to read at least pages 12 to 14 of that quite long report. But 12 to 14 just outline all of the, so basically what that is a much expanded version of these 11 reasons. And so what I would really like to suggest, I personally cannot see any reason why we shouldn't use pages 12 to 14, which really document those various usages in great detail. I can't see any reason why we shouldn't use that as part of what we're doing. However, I would be really keen to ask people to have a slow look at that document and just see, well, there is something in there that we don't really want to recognize, or, there's some reason why we don't want to take it up. But, what I'm really saying is read those three pages. Is there any reason why we can't use it? I don't know, Lars, whether you feel as I do that we would probably do just quite well to say that is effectively the work on scenarios we were intending to do.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, this is Lars. Yeah, I think if you were to, I posted the link to the document in the chat as well. I think you're obviously correct. This is, I just took out the purposes as they're listed, and in fact the expert working group then gives a detailed an examples of how these purposes come into use and why therefore data contact information should be available in one way or another.
Yeah.
And so I think, for example, for the domain name control, this is from a personal perspective, on initial thought, when you read it, you say, well, for domain name control, it doesn't need to be translated or transliterated, because if I control my own domain name, I don't need it to be in a different script than I personally use, right? So it can be just in the native script, and it doesn't have to be translated or transliterated.
Mm-hmm.
Or the last point being malicious internet activities, well, for that, we shouldn't make it any easier, and so therefore it shouldn't be translated and transliterated. So those issues that they bring up might be quite easy to answer with yes or no, but I think the group would be helpful if they went through these various issues that they bring up, because obviously there are others where it's much more complicated, and there the usefulness will become much more apparent. And so I think maybe that would be something to work through after the Singapore meeting, but that's just an idea.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Thank you for that. Well, let us just scroll down the document. Now, at the bottom of that page, there are certain questions, but in fact, we can just move down to the top of the next page where the questions are answered. I think that's a legitimate shortcut. So if we can just scroll. Ah, here we go. So we've got 10 CCTLDs allowing users to register domain names using non-Roman scripts. Then the interesting one is 10 of 16 of the CTLDs support English in addition to a local language. I suppose Arabic, Chinese, and Japanese are the interesting ones there, because German and the other languages are using sort of modern, accented ASCII. They're the same script, but they're just using a larger character set. Rudy, would you like to say something at this point?
Thank you, Chris. Rudy speaking. Well, I think that essentially with the second bullet, 10 out of 16 that are supporting English aside the local language, I consider that in this case it's not about translation or transliteration. It's the person who is registering that the law that is just putting in English wording for what he or she considers being interesting or important for the registration. I don't see it really as a point of where it is defined being a translation or a transliteration. So it would be nice to have some clearance on that.
Thank you, Rudy. That's a very good point. Jim, would you like to say something about that?
Yes. So two things. Speaking as one of the co-chairs of the working group that did that survey and has that data there, the situation is, as I recall, what Rudy just said, and that is that the registries take in the data in both forms, allowing the registrants to enter them, but they don't do translation, and they also don't verify that the two versions match. And in fact, in the expert working group on internationalizing registration data, making recommendations, which I am currently chairing, we've asked ourselves the same question again, and based on this, it would just be a an ad hoc sample, if you will. Representatives on the group, there are only eight of us on this group, and people that we've talked to, the same situation is what we've been reporting to ourselves, that registries that we know of that take both just take both, but they don't confirm that they match, and they don't create the other if the registrant doesn't provide it. They just store it and keep it if they get it. So, and I apologize, I should have said that I'm Jim Galvin when I started speaking, but thank you.
Thank you very much, Jim. Okay, now, anything else in those points that we need to pick up? All CCTLDs support WHOIS port 43. Character set dependencies affect display. I don't think either of those fact what we are doing. Okay. And then we have it's a summary of some parts of the final report of the IRD working group. Okay. Lars, would you be able to just flesh out these benefits and potential problem areas?
Thanks, Chris. This is Lars. By flesh out, do you mean just go through them briefly, or to elaborate on them in the next draft?
Yes. I mean, to be absolutely honest, I only just received this document, and this was a part of it that I was sort of slightly struggling to understand completely. So I think it's going to save time if you just flesh it out and wait for people to ask questions between the various points.
Okay, I will do my best. So this is from the final report of the IRD working group, and they're obviously not marked in the, I should say this, I did this for editing purposes and also to provoke thought. These points are listed there, but they're obviously not marked clearly as benefits or potential problems, but they just say, you know, this is what the implication might be. And so it's obvious that if you were to translate or transliterate contact information, users who are only familiar with ASCII would be able then to access translate and transliterated material. And many users are monolingual, so when they type in their data, they would be able to do it in their own script, and they wouldn't have to do it in a script that they don't know, and they might not even have a keyboard to do so. Another possibility to do this. This is not necessarily a benefit, but there's obviously, we discussed this already in the group, certain transliteration standards that might be useful for this, that could be used to kind of achieve a uniformity of transliteration, at least, of various scripts and characters.
Yeah.
And I put a little footnote in there. I think that might be beneficial for the group to discuss too. If we transliterate into, say, from a Thai script into ASCII, whether it's translated or transliterated, for somebody who's speaks Hindi and is monolingual, obviously that translation or transliteration will not be useful. And that might be a problem or benefit, but it's definitely an issue, I think, that should also, or the group might well want to discuss. And then problem areas is obviously, well, not problem areas, but I think what it is more is that, you know, why it might not be necessary to translate or transliterate is that at the moment it's not done and the internet is working, basically, but it says many millions of domain names and users are submitting their data in ASCII, although their primary language is not that script. Using just one script at the moment makes the operation of who is much more easy and accessible. And obviously, something else, the bottom point that Group talked about it before as well, the problem of if you start to translate and transliterate, you immediately come into a problem of consistency. So making sure, how do you actually make sure that the data is, once it's translated and transliterated, consistent and therefore usable, essentially, is what the report is asking. And I think I'm going to leave it at that.
Thank you very much. That was a really good summary. Now, as you were speaking, there's quite a lot going on in the chat room, so I'll just check that we're up to date with that discussion. So Amar is just saying that he has no objection to addressing the items in the table, and then saying that matching from one language script to another is problematic. Very true. And then there's something about a uniform single language or script chosen per registry, which could be another model. So, you know, it might be that there are areas of the world where there is a more useful lingua franca. I mean, I think even now in Eastern Europe, there are very, very large numbers of German speakers, for example. Could be a lingua franca, theoretically. Okay. And then, registrars providing services in different languages and script, validating in those scripts with no need for translation. That, yes, I mean, again, it's another possible model. That's what Anna is writing there. And then Jim has got a long post here. By the nation state, information requirements are set by the nation state. Thus, a registrant should reasonably be expected to enter their address in a language appropriate for the region. Yes. Okay. So that's an argument for that being the primary consideration. Okay. Anything about what Lars was just saying, or the, you know, the various summaries I was making of what of the various posts in the chat room? Okay, hearing none, let us continue to move down the document. We're getting fairly close to the end. In fact, the last page of it, is that correct? Yes. So if we just display further point of consideration on the last page there. Yes. So desirability to use scripts different from US ASCII, we've just been talking about, should be balanced against the desired uses of the data. While domain registrants may intend only to use their domain locally, the nature of the internet itself means that any domain is available globally. You know, if we did have a situation where, the main records were, I don't know, in Chinese, for example, and they weren't translated or transliterated, then, those domains would be, available on the internet. But for somebody without a knowledge of written Chinese, it would be quite difficult to contact those people. Okay. And then Jim is posting about registrars. They have a global presence, and thus how do you restrict or manage an arbitrary registrant? Could it be that you reject registrants who attempt to enter contact information from regions you can't process? Yes, I mean, obviously, if you have a registrar who, this really raises other issues, but if you have a registrar without the knowledge of specific language, of the language of specific registrations, then they certainly can't check it manually because they just don't have the knowledge of the language. And that then raises the other issue about machine translation or hand translation. So, whether we are talking about machine translation or whether it's got to be done by hand. I don't know whether anybody has any opinions about that. Ah, yes. Now, two hands up. I'm afraid I didn't see the order. Amr, would you like to go first?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. This is Amr. Just in response to Jim's last comment in the chat, I don't see why it would be a problem where you have registrars in, for example, developing countries who provide services in their local languages and scripts to sort of have, one way or another, have an edge in their own local market, where they provide these services in these local languages, in their local languages and scripts, and so attract more local customers.
Mm-hmm.
And if registrars from other regions would like to compete with them for those registrants, then sure, they can also try to provide these services in different languages and scripts. But I don't see it as a possible limitation. It's really market forces, I guess. Thanks.
Thank you very much for that, Amma. Yes, I agree completely. So unless we are in a situation where we have, where we have very, very high quality machine translation, then basically if services are to be offered, then an investment has to be made in people who understand those languages. I think that's really what that comes to. And sorry, Rudy, would you like to add to this?
Thank you, Chris. Rudy speaking. Well, as I mentioned in the chat, a registrar is not equal to a country or a language. That's already a first initial point we have to keep in mind. At the other side, the registrar can only provide translation or transliteration if the WHOIS data allows to store that information. If that's not the case, the registrar is limited to local storage of information that is independent of the official WHOIS data, and that's maybe another way of looking at the issue and the problem. If there would be a separation of information from the WHOIS into registrar data, then we end up in having two databases, and I'm just afraid that that would be maybe the baddest solution anyway. But I would like to come back to what Amr also was saying, that when you have one registrar working on a region, that registrar, when it is on a local in a local region, can indeed promote a lot for the local community with regards to domain name registration. But it all depends also on what is the registry, what is the TLD for which that registrar is going to do the business. So it is really depending on different levels, registry and then registrar, and not the other way around.
Thank you very much for that. Again, there is quite a lot going on in the chat room, so I'll just try and pick up a few of the things there. So Amr is writing that it would be problematic to transfer registrant contact information if no other registrar provides services in a specific language or script, if there's nobody available to do it. Yes, it's an interesting point. And Jim is saying that it's a market or business issue. We are probably not going to have enough time to have a look at what the at-large has been writing recently, but they actually talk about this. They talk about, I think it's general use and specialized use. And specialized is when a service might, such as translation or transliteration, may be done for a particular business use. This is feeling quite familiar from what they were writing, but not the stuff that we looked at last week. It's new stuff. Okay, and the point that registrars will care about, because it creates a restriction they don't have today if they have to allow the language script appropriate for the region of the address. Okay. And so if there aren't any questions about that, we can perhaps return to the document. And there are a few things from the GAC notes about sufficient and accurate data about registrations and registrants being subject to national safeguards, promoting supporting stability, reliability, security, and interoperability. Okay, and then working on, there are several initiatives in this area of improving accuracy of WHOIS data. And then finally, the idea of reducing the incidence of deliberately false WHOIS data. Okay, and there's still a bit of a debate going on in the chat room. Amr is saying he doesn't see it as a restriction, but a competitive issue. Okay. I think, okay. Amr is saying technically there's no restriction. A registrar based in Germany could hire staff in China if they thought the Chinese DN registration market is worth it. Yes, that sounds very likely at large. What was going on the at large wiki? Okay. Any other comments about this document before we move on to other things that have come into us? We should certainly say a big thank you to Lars for drafting it. It raises important issues. Okay. Well, one of the other things that came in was from, as you probably remember, from Salmad Hussein, who picked up, we were talking about the English form of Bangkok and the Thai form of, so if you transliterated Thai, you would end up with Krung Thep. And so basically, Salmad suggested that we adopt the technical terms for this. So he says that Bangkok is an exonym, in fact. I'll just, because these are very peculiar words, I'm just typing exonym. So that would be like Bangkok. And then you've got endonym, which is the transliterated Thai, maybe something like this. Use a one-handed typing. So to cut a long story short, that was a very helpful suggestion, and I've added that into the wiki. So basically, those are two very useful definitions, which I've added to the definition part of the wiki, and there is an issue, because the United Nations is very against using exonyms like Bangkok. So under the United Nations guidelines, you would very much be talking about Krung Thep, and I was raising the possibility that actually things like Bangkok are very helpful because we know what they mean, whereas Krung Thep is you really have to know Thailand before you know what that is. Okay, I shall just return to the chat room because there's a continuing a discussion going on in here. Okay. In fact, it's just discussion about restrictions and the business model. Okay, and that brings us on to we're starting slightly to run out of time. I think that we should pick up what Rudy was saying earlier. So there's a whole methodology thing. So it is how. So this means effectively we're into any other business. I don't think we're going to have enough time for the at large thing, but if we do, then we may have a quick look at that. Rudy was suggesting that we may want to refine our methodology and, exactly how we prioritize questions. What's certainly coming out of the input which both Amr and Lars have given recently has been that we need to put a far greater emphasis on desirability. We may even want to change the structure of the wiki slightly to reflect that. I don't know whether there are any other suggestions about methodological. I think there was also a question, come to think of it, about how we write the reports. I'm hoping, to be honest, that if we work well with the wiki, things will be quite logical and report writing should be quite straightforward. But I don't know whether anybody would like to add to that. Okay. I think it certainly is quite difficult to prioritize those questions. Amr, would you like to say something about that?
Well, thanks, Chris. I was just going to make a recommendation about writing the report. We should certainly include all the responses that the working group has received in the report, which would make it rather lengthy, but that's all right. But in terms of the working group recommendations, those, I would say, need to be separate based on the consensus that we develop. Yeah, that's just the way I would recommend going about it. Thanks.
Thank you for that. Yes, I have no trouble at all. So effectively, what we are doing is building up a volume of correspondence. And what I should have said, I omitted to do this, was that we are expecting a couple of other replies, certainly one from Japan and one from Mark Monitor. I've had emails telling me that, you know, those things are on the way. So, you know, it may well be that we have a larger corpus of correspondence, but yes, I mean, you know, any recommendations will be, you know, quite separate from that. Yes, that would certainly be what I would intend. Amr, would you like to reply to that?
Thanks, Chris. This is Amr. Just a question about the response from Mark Monitor. Is this a response from the IPC all in all, or just from Mark Monitor? And I'm wondering why they would submit a separate response. Certainly they could provide feedback in the public comment periods. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. That's a fair comment. I suspect that it's just one of those cases where somebody has two hats and I've picked up the wrong hat. But the point I was really wanting to get over is that there are a couple of responses that we are still waiting for. I mean, you know, obviously I hope we will have responses beyond, you know, the ones that we know are coming. But, you know, obviously Singapore will be a chance to, to go out to colleagues and try and get them more involved. Okay, we have not got enough time to have a look at the at-large comments. They're just too long. So I think we can just use the remaining 5 minutes on anything that's been missed out. Whether anybody would like to pick up anything about the Singapore meeting or. Really, any issue? Julie, would you like to add something?
Yes, I just, with respect to the next meeting, I just would like to remind everyone that the next meeting is actually scheduled in Singapore. It is scheduled for 7:30 in the morning on Monday, the 24th. It is a public meeting, and we do very much encourage people to get the word out that anybody who's interested in this topic should join. There will be coffee to make sure people can wake up. And we will not have a meeting next Thursday because many people will be traveling to go to Singapore. So I'd like to suggest then that because of travel schedules that we skip next week's meeting and that we focus on preparation for the meeting in Singapore, and you will all be receiving from the Secretariat the logistical information as far as the timing, time zones, and location for that meeting.
Thank you very much for that.
And I see in the chat room you're asking, this is Julie Hedlund again, about the 7:30 time. The reason this is, and work parties in general, this is not the only work party scheduled at 7:30. There are other work parties scheduled at 7:30. The reason is because we are not allowed to schedule against any of the public, the large public sessions. And so what this means is that on Monday, effectively, we have to get the meeting out of the way before the welcome ceremony and the rest of the public sessions get started. So there's no we as staff cannot schedule something in conflict with the other public meetings. So unfortunately, that does mean that it has to be scheduled at an early hour. I apologize for that.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. We do still have a couple of minutes left, but I think probably we could just wind down because unless there is anything else about Singapore, and really just I'm left to say I look very much forward to seeing most of you at least in person for once in Singapore. Oh, and I need to wish you all bon voyage, those who are traveling.
Bon voyage to you too, Chris.
Thank you very much. Okay, until Singapore then. Goodbye then.
Thanks.
Safe travel. See you all. Bye. So we can stop the recording.
Thank you. Nori, if you could stop the recordings, please.
Sure.